Firstly, Coastokar tea is too close to the Julif Basin. As your friend Sean Wallace said, the cloud is spreading. It would reach the valley long before Joshua gets back. Secondly, that valley is tactical suicide. Anyone who gets onto the high ground above the village can simply bombard it into submission or, more likely, destruction. There aren't enough soldier and hunter vassals to keep the slopes clear. Right now, Coastokar Tea is wide open to anything the possessed care to throw at it, and all the Tarasca are doing to defend themselves is building giant effigies of space gods and having a pray-in. We don't need that kind of shit. By ourselves, we stand a much better chance. We're mobile and well-armed. So tomorrow at first light, we start doing exactly what Joshua said. We run for it, through the mountains. Violent rain made a mockery of the hovercraft's blazing monochrome headlight beams, chopping them off after 5 or 6 meters. It obscured the moons, the red cloud. It damn near hid the drooping, defeated grass below the gunwale. The pilots navigated by guidance blocks alone. It took them 40 minutes to retrace their route back to the first tower house above the river. Sewell plugged a half-meter fission blade into his left elbow socket and confronted the blocked-up doorway. Water steamed and crackled as the blade came on. He placed the tip delicately against the wind-fretted cement and pushed. The blade sank in, sending out a thick runnel of ginger sand, which the rain smeared into the reeds at his feet. Relieved at how easy it was to cut, he started to slice down. Kelly was fourth in. She stood in musty darkness, shaking her arms and easing her cagoule hood back. God, there's as much water inside this cagoule as out. I've never known such rain as this. "'Tis a bleak night, this one," Sean Wallace said behind her. Razor stepped through the oval Sewell had cut, carrying 2 bulky equipment packs. TIP carbines slung over his shoulder. "Pat, Sal, check this place out." Fenton and Ryle hurried in after their master and immediately shook their coats, sending out a fountain of droplets. "Great," Kelly muttered. The blocks clipped to her broad belt were slippery with water. She wiped them ineffectually on her T-shirt. "Can I come with you, please?" "Sure," Pat said. She turned the seal catch on her bag and searched round until she found a light stick. Shadows fled away. Collins disapproved of infrared visuals unless absolutely unavoidable. They were in a hall that ran the diameter of the tower. Archways led off into various rooms. A ramp at the far wall started to spiral upwards. Tarasca didn't or couldn't use stairs, according to her didactic memory. Pat and Sal Yong started down the hall. Kelly followed. She realized Sean Wallace was a pace behind. He was back in his LDC jumpsuit. Completely dry, she noticed enviously. Her armor suit trousers squelched as she walked. "You don't mind if I tag along, do you, Miss Kelly? I've never seen one of these places before." "No." "That Mr. Maline there, he's a right one for doing things by the book. This place has been sealed up for years. What does he expect us to find?"
"We won't know till we look, will we?" she said coyly.
"Why, Miss Kelly, I do believe you're running me a ragged circle." The house was intriguing, strange furniture and startlingly human utensils, but there was little technology. The builders had obviously been given instructions on how to utilize wood. They were excellent carpenters. Rain drummed on the walls, adding to the sense of isolation and displacement as they mounted the ramp. Vassal castes had their own rooms. Kelly wasn't sure if they could be called stables. Some rooms for the soldiers, she guessed, had furniture. There was only a thin layer of dust. It was as though the tower had been set aside rather than abandoned. Given her current circumstances, it wasn't the most reassuring of thoughts. The neural mnemonics drank it all in. They found the first bodies on the second floor. 3 housekeeper castes, the same size as a farmer, 5 hunters and 4 soldiers. Desiccation had turned them into creased leather mummies. She wanted to touch one, but was afraid it would crumble to dust. "They're just sitting there. Look," Sean Wallace said in a tamed voice. "There's no food anywhere near them. They must have been waiting to die."
"Without the breeders, they are nothing," Pat said.
"Even so, 'tis a terrible thing, like those old pharaohs who had all their servants in their tombs with them." "Were there any Tarascan souls in the beyond?" Kelly asked.